I'm John Carter in Moscow, in Havana, Cuba. Now in Kiev, the capital of Ukraine.
I'm John Carter in Petra,
right here in communist China,
reporting from India.
Hi, I'm John Carter in the Solomon Islands.
I'm John Carter in Soweto,
from El Salvador.
I'm John Carter in Sydney, Australia.
Today's topic is Project 86. What is the greatest truth?
Well, before I answer that question, I want to say how glad I am that you've joined us. Welcome today to Project 86. Now you say to me, what on earth is Project 86? Well, you'll just have to be patient with me for a little bit because I'm going to reveal to you exactly what Project is, this Project 86 is, in just a moment. So just hold on with me. Now here's the question. What is the greatest truth? Well, here it is, from my heart to your heart. The greatest truth in all the world is this. There's a God, and this God loves you, and you are special, and you are important, because, as good old Fred Rogers used to say, there's nobody in all the world quite like you. The greatest truth is the truth about you, that God made you, and God loves you. And God made us to be free men and women. Listen to this. This is a tremendous statement. I'm going to read it from the Declaration of Independence. This is the preamble. This sort of gives me goosebumps. I think it's so great. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. This is why America has been the greatest nation in the history of the world, because of this tremendous declaration that all men are created equal. You are a very, very special person. Don't let anybody ever put you down. The Apostle Paul says, he said this in the book of Galatians, for liberty, just listen to this, for liberty, Christ has set us free. Every person has been redeemed by the blood of Christ. And not everybody has accepted it, but every person has been redeemed by the blood of Christ. And we have been set free and we're called to liberty.
Why do you believe the greatest threat to liberty will come from evil spirits working through human agencies?
Well, I'm going to read a text for you out of the Holy Bible. This is an amazing text, and I'm going to take it from 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 9 down to 12, and verse 4. The great apostle Paul says, the coming of the lawless one. Now, that's the very essence of the Antichrist. The coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan, with all power, signs, and lying wonders, and with all unrighteous deception among those who perish, because they did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. And for this reason, God will send them strong delusion that they should believe the lie, that they all may be condemned who did not believe the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. And then verse 3, I know it's verse 4, says, talking about the man of sin, or the Antichrist, it says, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Now listen, my friend, we're living in the last days. I hope you know this. You know, they just moved the doomsday clock up a little bit closer to midnight because the atomic scientists are saying we've come down to the very end of time. And these people, they're not Christians, they're not believers. They're just scientists, and they say we've got to move the hands of the clock closer to midnight. The Bible says in the last days there are going to be overwhelming deceptions, and the man of sin is going to go and he's going to sit in the temple, he's going to sit in the church. It's going to be lying wonders, and multitudes are going to be deceived. Most people are easily deceived, my friends. They need to know the Bible and they need to know history. And if you don't get the facts, there's a big chance that you're going to be deceived. Now listen to this. I'm going to tell you two stories. And these stories are going to help you and me to prepare for the greatest deception in the history of the human race. Now today, we're not pointing fingers at anybody. We're not talking politics. We're not talking about this individual or that individual. We're simply going to the words of the Bible and we're studying the sacred prophecies. Are you with me, my friends? Now, I want to tell you two stories. And these stories are tremendously important because they're going to help us to avoid deceptions in these last days. The first story is about a person by the name of Constantine. Now, Constantine lived in the 4th century AD. Constantine was not some little guy. Constantine was the Roman emperor. Can you believe it? Constantine was the Roman emperor. And he had a special title. His title was Pontifex Maximus. He was the super big guy. He was the big priest. The word Pontifex Maximus means the great bridge. He considered that he was the great bridge between heaven and this earth. And if you wanted to get from this earth into heaven, you had to go through him because he was the Pontifex Maximus. And let me tell you what happened. Pontifex Maximus declares that on one of his battles, during one of his great battles, he had a vision. And he saw a vision of the cross. And Constantine declared that he was going to become a Christian. Now, the amazing thing is that the Christians had been persecuted for over 300 years. They'd been thrown to the lions. They'd been torn to pieces in the Circus Maximus. The Christians had been going through the purge of tribulation and terrible persecution and bloody slaughter. And then all of a sudden, Constantine says, you know, he was a pagan. He'd been in charge of the persecutions with Nero and all of these other wicked people. And Constantine said, I'm going to become a follower of Jesus. Would you say that was terrifically good news? It sounds like mighty good news to me. Because the Christians were now no longer getting persecuted. And the Christians had a tremendous friend and ally in Constantine, the Roman emperor. So what happened? Well, the church did not only just convert Rome, but Rome ended up converting the church. And into the Christian church came all the pagan teachings. They started to keep Sunday. They started to have indulgences. And they did something else. They started to persecute their enemies. And the reign of Constantine, after many, 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 many years, led to the Inquisition, the Dark Ages, and the slaughter of Protestants and Jews and Muslims and Catholics and any person who was opposed to the rule of the church. What happened? Please listen to this, because I want to explain the word theocracy. There are some people today who think it'd be a great thing if we had a theocracy. Now, what is a theocracy? A theocracy is when the church and the government get together and they enforce religious laws. A lot of people say, boy, that'd be just absolutely tremendous if we had Jesus as the King of the United States of America. Because if Jesus was the King of the United States of America, we would have a great Christian country and God would bless us. Therefore, a theocracy would be a marvelous thing. Are you listening to me? But let me tell you what a theocracy always leads to. A theocracy always leads to persecution. And because of Constantine, the church went down into the Dark Ages. Why did the pilgrims come to America? Because they wanted a state without a king and a church without a pope. They wanted to get away from the theocracy of the Dark Ages. They wanted to get away from the old world. And that's why the Americans said, we're not going to have what they used to have in Europe. We're not going to have a church with a pope, and we're not going to have a state with a king. We're going to have freedom. So that's the first story. A theocracy is always a bad, bad thing. Don't forget it. Now here's the second story. The second story is found or comes from the great land of Germany, the home of Martin Luther and the great Protestant Reformation. You see, after the Dark Ages, people started, they discovered this book, the Bible, and they started to read the Bible. And when they read the Bible, they discovered the truth of justification by faith. They discovered the truth of personal freedom. And those people broke away from the old world and they came to the United States of America because they wanted to be free. And they wanted to have the greatest gift that God can give to a human being. And that gift is the gift of liberty. And so we go back to Germany, home of Martin Luther. He was the guy who started the Protestant Reformation in 1517. But let me tell you what happened. The First World War happened. And the Germans lost hundreds of thousands of soldiers. Hey, the Germans may have started the war, but they didn't finish the war. America and Great Britain and France finished the war. And Germany was absolutely destroyed. And people were starving on the streets of Berlin. And communism was threatening. A lot of people were saying, maybe we ought to do what the Russians did and we ought to embrace communism. Because we've been completely destroyed. We've got to get back somehow. We've got to get our power back again. And then there came a very charismatic figure. He started to teach and he started to preach and he had tremendous rallies. Now, there's nothing wrong with rallies, I'm telling you. There's nothing wrong with rallies. I've had plenty of rallies myself, so I'm not opposed to rallies. I like big rallies, but this man had the biggest rallies of all, and people just stopped using their minds. They just let their feelings take over. And this man said, we're going to get back to where Germany is the greatest power on the face of the earth. And we're going to have Christian values. And so 95% of the German people back Hitler. You say, I can't believe this. Hey, the Pope backed him. The Roman Catholic bishops used to bless the Nazi troops as they marched out into battle because they saw them as the defenders, these soldiers, they saw them as the defenders of the holy truth. And so the people accepted this. They were absolutely deceived. And the Nazis were tied up, did you know this? The Nazis were tied up with Spiritism. They were invoking the pagan gods. Were they following Christ? Not at all. But the people thought, the people, the Lutherans and the Catholics, they thought, this man, Hitler, has come as our deliverer and he's going to save us. And so they accepted him. They were completely deceived, as it says in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. What was the end result? 80 million people around the world died. Hundreds of thousands of Americans died. Hundreds of thousands of British people died. 6 million Jewish people died. Because they were taken in by a massive deception. So why am I talking this way today? Am I talking about this system, that person? No. We're talking about the prophecies of the Bible. And we're saying, let us get back to the Bible. Let us follow Christ.
What is Project 86?
Well, I guess I better answer that now. I told you at the top of the program that I was going to talk about, welcome you at least to Project 86. So what is Project 86? Are you ready to hear this? In just a few days, I, John Carter, I am 86 years of age. So what is Project 86? By the grace of God, even though I am now 86, I still have the burning fire of God in my soul. And by the grace of God, Beverly and I and David and the rest of our team are going to keep on keeping on preaching the gospel of Christ and the truths of the Bible for as long as we can, until Jesus comes, because we believe these truths are so tremendously important. Now, we're doing this program today in our home. This is my home. This is my study room. You can see a few of my books behind, just a few of them. But we're doing this. We could be sitting out there on the beach. We could be doing all of that stuff. But the Carter Report team has got a fire burning. We've got a fire burning in our souls. And Project 86 is to keep on preaching the truth until Jesus comes.
Are you involved in politics?
Well, I can easily answer that one. The answer is no. Am I opposed to politics? No. I am an old-fashioned, Bible-believing, conservative Christian. I believe the words of the Holy Bible. We ought to pray for our politicians. Hey, we ought to pray for President Trump that God is going to bless him. We ought to pray for President Trump and Melania and all of their team that God will bless them. that God will reveal his truth to them and give them grace to walk in the light by the grace of God. We ought to pray that President Trump will be the greatest unifier in the history of the United States of America, and that he's going to be tremendously successful, and that God will save him from the bullet of the foul assassin. But are we personally involved in politics? No, we're not. We're involved with Jesus in preaching the gospel.
Who is the beast from the abyss? How dangerous is a union of church and state? How dangerous is militant atheism?
Some of the stuff I'm going to share with you today is sort of explosive. It's mighty powerful. Some would say it's too dangerous. Some people have told me, you shouldn't be preaching that stuff, John. You ought to be going and spending time with the grandchildren and Beverly and the rest of the family and sitting on the beach sucking lemonade through a straw. Listen, my friend, we're preaching these things because these things open up our eyes to the truth, and these great truths will save us from deception and get us ready for the coming of Jesus. So are you with me? Now let me read you this text. Revelation chapter 11, verse 3, 7 to 8. This talks about the beast from the abyss. And I will give power to my two witnesses, and they will prophesy 1,260 days clothed in sackcloth. When they finish their testimony, the beast that ascends out of the bottomless pit will make war against them, overcome them, and kill them. And their dead bodies will lie in the street of the great city, which spiritually is called Sodom and Egypt, where also our Lord was crucified. Now, what on earth does it mean? Well, I alluded to some of these things earlier in this presentation. But here we have a reference to 1,260 days, and these are prophetic days. And this is the prophetic time period which covers the Dark Ages, when the great church ruled the world, when you had a theocracy. Now, we were talking about that a minute ago. Every historian knows about this. This was the time of the Inquisition. This is why America was founded, to get away from that infernal system. Now, some people say, well, you know, do we need to know these things? Well, listen to me. Those who forget the past are condemned to repeat its errors. So this verse here is talking about the great time period, the Dark Ages, when the great church joined to the state and persecuted the saints of God. Now, the Bible says this. There were two witnesses that were prophesying in sackcloth. There you've got them. The Old and the New Testaments. The book which is the book of God and which is the book of the church. And for 1260 years, from about 538 through to 1798, the Dark Ages, this book prophesied but in sackcloth, because of the terrible persecutions. And then the Bible says, towards the end of the 1260 prophetic days, around 1798, there would come a beast out of the bottomless pit. And this beast would make war against the Holy Word of God. Now, what on earth does it mean? What on earth does it mean? We are told here that the two witnesses, the Holy Scriptures, would prophesy in sackcloth. And this brings you through until the end of the, around the 18th century. And that sets the stage for the coming of this power from hell.
Jesus said, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." John Carter reports, "We have seen God's power as the gospel of Christ has been proclaimed in Africa, India, Russia, Ukraine, Cuba, El Salvador, and many other places. We invite you to partner with us in proclaiming Jesus Christ."
To God be the glory. Great things He has done.
Write today to the Carter Report, P.O. Box 1900, Thousand Oaks, California, 91358. That's The Carter Report, P.O. Box 1900, Thousand Oaks, California, 91358. In Australia, write to The Carter Report, P.O. Box 861, Terrigal, New South Wales, 2260. That's The Carter Report, P.O. Box 861, Terrigal, New South Wales, 2260. Thank you for your generous support. We look forward to hearing from you soon. May God richly bless you.
For a copy of today's program, please contact us at P.O. Box 1900, Thousand Oaks, California, 91358. Or in Australia, contact us at P.O. Box 861, Terrigal, New South Wales, 2260. This program is made possible through the generous support of viewers like you. We thank you for your continued support. May God richly bless you.